Hello everybody, this is the translation of Jenny's message for Sunday the 22nd of December. Christiane will read from Luke chapter 1 verses 26 to 37. In the 6th month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favoured. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favour with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be unable to conceive is in her 6th month. For no word from God will ever fail." The next reading is from Luke chapter 2, verses 6 to 12. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David a Saviour has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Last week, during the church Christmas celebration with the children and teens, we received promise boxes containing a chocolate and a Bible verse. Actually, I had 2 verses in my box. The first one, Luke chapter 2, verses 10 and 11, read, "The angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David a Saviour has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord.'" I wonder if you experience the same thing as me each Christmas and every Easter as well. To start off with, I'm always a bit fed up with hearing the same Bible texts, the same old story, the same songs, although I really appreciated the song sung by the children and teens last week. They were new ones for me. So I tell myself off and reason with myself, "Jenny, these texts tell the greatest story on earth, in the whole of history. Open your heart, your ears and your mind and spirit, and find the amazement in these stories. Dig into the significance of these words. You will grasp again the importance of Jesus coming to earth and what that means for your own life." So this year I'm concentrating on the human side of this story. I imagine myself there. I observe the people involved in this story. I try and identify with them. Christiane already read out where the angel announces Mary will become pregnant and where she visits Elizabeth, also miraculously pregnant. Elizabeth, Mary, Joseph, what was the impact on their lives? How did they cope with all of this? They were asked to live with things that didn't correspond at all to their society's morals. They had to accept being different, yet they accepted the mission to have their lives shaken up. More than that, they expressed joy, worship, and adoration. What does it mean to be a woman or a man of God? We are all different. We function differently. We understand God in different ways and can be in relationship with him on a more intellectual level or on an emotional level through our experiences of him. Throughout the Bible, God requires our whole commitment to our relationship with him, body, mind, and spirit. Jesus himself says it. You will love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. Matthew chapter 22, verse 37. How do you see Jesus? Can you imagine yourself with him, not only speaking with him like we do when in prayer, but walking with him, going about our daily occupations, knowing he is present with us? Firstly, we shouldn't be surprised when we realise that we are called to change, to adapt, or to accept to do things that we wouldn't have planned for our life. Our first steps to faith require us to turn our eyes upon God, to see him, recognise him, realise his perfection and his holiness. This leads us to realise our own imperfections, our ability to do wrong, even evil, to accept who we really are and our place in this created world. It brings us to a state of humility, wonderment, submission, gratitude. Then just when we think we could never be acceptable in his sight, he shows us that he comes to meet us. He identifies with our human state and becomes a baby who lives our life on earth. This is the birth we celebrate in a few days. Jesus, God, incarnated, had a mission. The second verse I received in my box of promises is from Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25. Therefore, he is able to save completely those who come to God through him, because he always lives to intercede for them. The next step for us then is to accept this and to believe that his actions allow us to reconcile with our Creator God. Jesus takes upon himself the punishment we merit for our sinfulness, our pride, our lack of love, our ability to hurt others, the way we refuse to choose life, our disobedience towards God. Jesus does this when he accepts a horrifying death and thus completes the cycle of human life. He is born, he lives, he dies. However, our salvation, our reconciliation with our Heavenly Father, is sealed forever when Jesus comes back to life. Sealed by the giving of the Holy Spirit, his Spirit, the Spirit of God, who now lives within every believer. How would we define what a man or woman of God is? What characterizes someone who calls him or herself a disciple of Christ? What does someone who is filled with the Holy Spirit look like? I'm going to take two examples, a woman and a man, who, for me, characterize what it is to be a woman or a man of God. I invite you to hear this familiar Christmas story with open ears, ready to hear something as if it is new. This text comes from a skit I watched in a church in Australia. It's not the inspired word of God, but a means to examine this amazing story with a changed perspective. Narrator. See the family, the nativity scene, an ornament, a tradition. The woman, Mary, quiet, always there. Mary speaks. I'm Mary, but I guess you knew that. Each year you see me on Christmas cards, in shopping centre displays, in school plays and in church pageants. Usually I look the same, modest, quiet, clean. Sometimes I'm like this, but mostly I'm not. I remember when the angel came and visited me. It was like when I was a little child and I was having a bad dream and I was too scared to scream. I just froze. I didn't even blink. At Christmas time, I remember God's faithfulness for me, the miracle he wrought in me, indicating the baby Jesus, the journey he led me on. God never left me. I had my valleys, but God never left me, just as he promised. He never left me. Narrator. Mary believed God, and she was very young. Certainly the future was frightening for her, but her faith and God's goodness provided great strength. Joseph was an earthy man, no nonsense, hard-working and serious. Even when he thought that Mary was untrue, he had no stomach for vengeance, because he was kind, because he loved her. When God told Joseph of his plan, Joseph never argued or debated. Joseph speaking. I bet you never gave a lot of thought to me, the tall backdrop to Mary and the babe in the manger, not to mention the shepherds and the wise men. But that's okay. I think God chose me partly because of my quiet nature. I believe in getting on with life, no need to fuss. When Jesus was a boy, I could show him love and approval with a nod or a smile or with three words, I love you. For me, Christmas is a time to reflect on things. I remember the pain of seeing Mary so tired and weary with nowhere to lay down. She looked at me with such trust. She believed in me and in God who left her to my care. That spurred me on. I could feel the presence of God. At Christmas, I remember that God gave us responsibilities and the power to fulfil them. What qualities do you discern in Mary and Joseph? Humility, knowing the rightful place, accepting, acknowledging God's sovereignty, assuming one's own responsibilities. You can find others. These are what defines a woman or a man of God. We can add obedience to God's ways of doing things, to his rules, values, ability and desire to listen. This reminds me of the series of studies that our Union of Churches had created for 2024 on listening. It is a vital quality to have because living out God's way is not a static thing. It could never be. He asks a lot of us that we be able to question ourselves, to evaluate situations and which actions to choose, to obey, to think through times, to commit, to trust in him. He knows what he is asking me to be and to do. Faith demands that we listen, that we put time into our relationship with God and be conscious of our walk with Jesus. This Christmas, let's centre on the true meaning of Christmas, on the key figure of Jesus. How do I relate to him? Where am I in my relationship with him? Would I be bold enough to describe myself as a man or a woman of God? What would it take for me to be able to do this, and what effect would this have on the people around me? Can I live this out in the year to come? That's a lot of questions. I invite you to take time this Christmas to evaluate where you would place yourself in response to these questions. In a few days, we celebrate the birth of the King of Kings, the Saviour, the Lord. Let's allow ourselves to be in awe of this historical event and by all that this moment in time represents. I just have a couple of other points to raise which could stimulate your time of reflection as well. A small phrase struck me in the description of John the Baptist's future mission, as announced by the angel in Luke chapter 1, verses 15b to 17. He will be filled by the Holy Spirit even from birth. Many of the people of Israel will bring back to the Lord their God, and he would go on before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteousness, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. To turn our hearts of the fathers to their children, this is the phrase that stood out to me this time. It has become my prayer for the year to come that fathers who are striving to be men of God prioritize the relationship with their children and to be the example their children need to become men and women of God in their own right. I am always struck by the role of light in the Christmas stories, and since my childhood, enchanted by the lights that decorate our streets and homes. It's not so easy in Australia, where Christmas comes in summertime and daylight lasts until nearly 10 p.m. But light is well and truly visible, so to speak. It reminds me of another characteristic of a woman or man of God. We are called to reflect the light of God. Let's take a minute to think about what that means. A woman or man of God lives by the truth of God, recognizes evil and lies brought into relief by that light. We are also called to stand firmly against evil and lies. That within us, unfortunately, although it is dissipating as we grow in Christ, and that of the world, our divine vocation as a man and woman of God is to help push back the darkness that represent evil. It reminds me of a quote from The Power of the Rings, a series based on the books of J.R. Tolkien, telling of the making of said rings. It is not strength that overcomes darkness, but light. Armies may rise, hearts may fail, yet still light endures. Light is mightier than strength, for in its presence all darkness must flee. And the sun yet shines, which is obviously an echo from the Gospel of John chapter 1 verses 4 and 5. In him, Jesus, the word of life, was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. In the French version, it says, the darkness cannot snuff out the light. And further down in verse 9, the true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. I conclude with this encouragement from 2 Peter chapter 3. These promises will be kept and are an encouragement for us to stand firm, to persevere in living holy lives. Dear friends, this is now my second letter to you. I've written both of them as reminders to stimulate you to wholesome thinking. I want you to recall the words spoken in the past by the holy prophets and the command given by our Lord and Saviour through your apostles. Above all, you must understand that in the last days scoffers will come, scoffing and following their own evil desires. They will say, "Where is this coming?" he promised. Ever since our ancestors died, everything goes on as it has since the beginning of creation. But they deliberately forget that long ago, by God's word, the heavens came into being and the earth was formed out of water and by water. By these waters also the world of that time was deluged and destroyed. By the same word, the present heavens and earth are reserved for fire, being kept for the day of judgment and destruction of the ungodly. But do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. Since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you to be? You ought to live holy and godly lives as you look forward to the day of God and speed its coming. So then, dear friends, since you are looking forward to this, make every effort to be found spotless, blameless, and at peace with him. Therefore, dear friends, since you have been forewarned, be on your guard, so that you may not be carried away by the error of the lawless and fall from your secure position, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. To him be glory, both now and for ever. Amen.